The title is clunky, but the wine talk is smooth. You're listening to the Matt Talks Wine and Stuff with Interesting People podcast.
Hey, everyone, and welcome to the Matt Talks Wine and Stuff with Interesting People podcast. And this is definitely the most famous person I have had on the pod. It used to be Drew Bledsoe, quarterback who was in a Super Bowl ages ago, but Deborah Cox has knocked him out of the way as the number one, obviously three-time Juno winner, Canadian Music Hall of Famer, Broadway, television, film, all that stuff. And now in the wine industry as well. Deborah, thank you so much for being on the podcast today.
Thank you for having me. This is really cool.
I think what you're doing is just fantastic. It's so unique. And let's just dive in. Kazaizu, your new wine, which is named after your three children. I think I might have messed up the middle syllable. And the funny part is I was talking with your people saying the name over and over again. I knew I would screw it up the first time
I
said it.
You were very close. No, Kazaizu. Kazaizu.
Yeah. Okay. I'm always insecure about names. So I always figure I'm going to screw it up. How did you go from the arts, from singing to now getting into the wine industry?
Well, it's something that's always intrigued me, the art form, the whole method of winemaking, the legacy that when you think about wine being a part of people's sort of their legacy and their history. And the way that I came into it was kind of really just naturally and organic. I was doing a lot of background singing for a lot of French artists back in the day. And we were all over Provence. And these were areas that I didn't even realize was, you know, rosé country. It was during the pandemic that my husband and I were craving connection and being with our friends and family and stuff. And we were kind of thinking about pivoting. And the wine was the first thing that we thought about. What could we do? How could we contribute something different to the wine world? And then the journey started there. We went to find this certified organic vineyard in Provence and started collaborating on doing tastings and figuring out the right blend. And it just started from there.
Also, you picked a great region. If you're going to think about the best regions for rosé, certainly Provence and Tavel, both of them in southern France, you picked a great region. And we'll geek out about the wine in a second and the organic nature of it and the winemaking. But you mentioned connection. And when I'm doing my research, is that, and that makes sense, certainly during the pandemic when everyone was isolated.
Yes.
But the joy of wine, how much for you is it about the taste and the smell versus everything going on around you while drinking the wine, the people you're with, the moments you're having?
It's the experience. It's the vibe. It's the energy. It's, you know, being around people that tell stories that bring that authenticity and bring connection to the experience of wine. When I think about some of the best bottles of wine that I've had, it's been with dear friends of mine, you know what I mean? And I think just like music, wine is like about discovery. When you find a really good bottle of red wine, like you remember that brand, that moment, the taste, the smell, you know, your everything starts to water in your mouth, you know, you're just like ready to for that experience. I think that's what I love about this whole process and the wine world.
You know, with my cellar, and it's not giant, but like I look at my best bottles and I view them as your Christmas, your birthday, your Thanksgiving, you know, your a Saturday. And it's like when I look at my wine, it's honestly not about the price. It's about, I can't wait to open this to enjoy it with certain friends or family.
Yeah, exactly. And for me, you know, red wine is my jam. And so I'm excited about the red that we have coming as well. But rosé is a lot easier on the cords. And it was easier for me to sort of pair it with different things and to even drink during a show. So exactly what you said, like when I think about what I'm going to have after my show, I know exactly what the taste is going to be like. I know how it's going to open up in my mouth. I crave it. And I know exactly what it is that I want. I'm very specific. I have a very think I have a very specific palate, you know? Mm-hmm. But yeah, I think over the years, like trying to also find something organic that tasted good was so hard to find. Nothing with all the chemicals and additives and all this stuff. Like, I don't like sweet wines, you know, especially rosé. Rosé should not be sweet. And it should not be, you know, it should be like fresh and floral. And, you know, you should be able to taste all, you know, some of the minerals. And you know, and I think that sadly, the industry has kind of moved away from the origin of what like wine is supposed to be, you know. So, yeah, that was another sort of quest that we went on, was to find something that tasted good, that was certified organic.
For your wine, it's going to be high acidity, so it goes well with food.
Yes.
You mentioned the freshness, and I think there's like only 1 gram of sugar, which is classic for Provence. So your wine makes sense. Because after a show, you're not going to get weighed down, and you could pair it. You could pair it with any food you're having.
Yes, yes, I love that, and I think there's a myth. I think that rosé can be, you can have rosé all year round. I really don't. I think it's like it's a beautiful light wine that you can have with your with seafood, with salads, with like it can be paired with a lot of different things. So yeah, I'm here to kind of break the mold when it comes to having rosé just in the summer.
You're right. It can go with some white meat, some chicken. I'm not going to have it with a porterhouse, but I can have it with 85% of other foods. Also, and this is something I've seen in the industry. Years ago, dummies, the men, was always like, oh, no, rosé is not for men. I feel that that idea has pretty much gone away. Maybe it's the circles I'm in, but I feel like now rosé is not seen as something more gender specific. It's rosé is just a good option for your cellar.
Exactly. It's a good option for your cellar. It's another alternative. And if you want to go with something that's really clean, the Kazaisu brand is a brand for you. I have a lot of converts, like a lot of people that were like, that weren't, you know, guys, like you said, that were like, well, I don't really mess with rosé. Yeah. And then they taste it and they're like, okay, you know, so it's I think it's, you know, it's a matter of like I said before, discovering, like, you know, it's never too late to like discover new things, new wines and pair them with something different.
Wine pairs brilliantly with people who are curious. It's why it's how I got into wine. Like when I first time I was in Provence, I didn't know there was a region called Bandol that does.
That is the red we're coming with.
Matt, you're doing a Bandol red?
Yes. And it's divine. Oh my gosh, Matt, I love this.
Yes. Oh, yes. It's meaty. Bandol. It's spicy notes. Okay. We'll do another one. Yeah, we'll do a Joy of Mouvedre later. We'll stick with the rosé right now. I just heard just recently, also wines can impact your voice. Is like how much of did that play a part in what you're going to do?
Yeah, sadly, it was tough for me to find a red that wouldn't affect me, the tannins, and it was very drying. But listen, I like what I like. You know what I mean? And so I just like heels are not always great for women, but we still wear heels. You know, it was a matter of like finding the right one, the right blend, the right one that wasn't going to give me a headache. And so it's interesting that you said this Bandol is amazing. It can be harsh on the singing voice, you know, and over the years, I know what my sweet spot is. Like if I'm singing a lot, it's probably not a good idea to drink red wine after a show, you know? But yeah, I know how to sort of pace myself.
You mentioned art earlier. Mm-hmm. And what I find with most winemakers is making wine, it's part art, it's part science. There is going to be some science in the vineyard and, you know, when we're going to pick the grapes. But then there's the artistic side about when you're blending different grapes. It's like, this adds more perfume. This adds more body. And I imagine, you must have been immediately attracted to that process because of your background.
Oh, yeah. It's all about the blend. It's all about collaborating. And listen, the first round was delicious. I mean, it was super smooth. It was just Grenache and Cinsault. And he didn't add any Mourvèdre and Cab. and it just made it of more structure, right? So, I mean, with my virgin palate, I just know what I want the wine to taste like after I have my first or second glass. And so it took maybe about three tries to get this blend. And I love it. I love it. I like it. It is art. It's the process. It's like music, you know. It's very much like when you work with people, they have a certain feel or a certain vibe that they put into the music. And when you're able to collaborate and feed off of each other's energy, you can create something really beautiful and magical. And in really this case, something that tastes wonderful too.
Yeah, really kind of like when you're on stage in terms of the collaboration. Actually, I'm wondering, when you got started and were helping with the blending and going over that, was that at all nervous for you? Like, it's funny, I would imagine you in front of 50,000 people, that doesn't make you nervous at all, but standing with seven winemakers deciding how much Grenache, was that at all nerve-wracking for you the first time?
It was. And I stayed very open, like, knowing, listen, I'm not a psalm, but, you know, I certainly would love to become one. And because I'm intrigued by the process that you can smell a glass of wine and know what's in it. You know, that's really cool to me. But yeah, it was a little nerve wracking. So I leaned in on their expertise, you know, but I definitely know what I like. You know what I mean? And kind of like fashion, like, I know what works for my body and I know what, you know what I mean? So it's just like about, again, finding that right collaboration and people that are open to your own, adding your own flair and style to something.
You must be excited for upcoming vintages because with every year you learn a little bit more, you get more knowledge, you get more confident. Like you, the winemaker helping on the winemaking team, you must be excited where it's going to be 2, 3, 4, 5 years down the road.
I am. And, and that's why I really do see myself diving even deeper into it. You know what I mean? And you know, of course, music will always be there. Singing will always be there. But I love that I can still intertwine the art of tasting wine and singing a little bit and hanging out with friends and you know, just like visiting a beautiful art exhibition. Just being able to share and explore and being curious about the industry is what is intriguing to me, really intriguing to me.
The funny thing is, you're going to be checking weather apps in Provence. You're going to be checking the weather. What was the vintage like?
You're right about that. And I've watched so many different documentaries on, you know, again, on the different processes of making, you know, rosé or making reds or, you know, it's fascinating to me. Fascinating. And how different winemakers have come to different regions of the world to try to create the same thing. And it's like, no, you can't produce certain things because the terroir has to be of a certain thing, right?
Yeah.
So I love that. I love that. You know, it's really, for me, anytime I get into anything, it has to be authentic. It has to speak to me and it has to be something that really represents my lifestyle. And I want to be able to really speak on something with knowledge.
How important is it, and this was something that you sought out and you mentioned it a couple of times, that your wine be fully organic?
It was really important. Again, because most of the wines that I've tasted have always given me the headache the next day, or I wanted to be able to enjoy something that tasted good, that I didn't have to worry about like sugar content and all that stuff. And I'm like, look, all of us, we're an aging population anyway. We're not going to stop drinking our wines. So why not provide something that's a little healthier alternative? You know what I mean? So that was the idea behind it. And then our core value, you know, having children, having our three kids, we wanted to lean in on sustainability. We wanted a bottle that you could reuse. And, you know, we're just thinking about the planet a little. We've got the Vino Lock on there. So anybody who's on their yacht or anybody who's on, you know, you don't have to have a corkscrew. You know, just finding ways to just make it simpler for people to really enjoy the juice in the bottle. Yeah, it's been a really fun process, a really expensive process. but we're here. We're getting through it.
Yeah. Well, it's the thing what you're doing, like just talking to you, I can see the joy in you when it comes to wine. The first couple of years, this is about quality of life. And then eventually you hope for profit down the road. No one jumps into the wine world to suddenly make fat stacks of cash. That's not how it works.
Right. And listen, like music, like it's a matter of taste, but then with all the regulations, there's all those different things to deal with. However, it's fun. It is fun.
Yeah.
So yeah, it's fun. And I love what we're producing. I really stand by the flavor, the taste, it's quality. It's really, really premium. And it was so wonderful to get the news from LCBO that we were approved. And we, the first order last year came a little bit after the summer because of all the stuff that was going on. This summer, you know, our friends in Ontario were able to enjoy it during the summer, which is super awesome.
Yeah. And I can tell people right now, I was on the LCBO website yesterday, and you can definitely find your rosé at tons of LCBOs across Ontario. And you're going to be at Casa Loma on the 27th of August, right?
Yes. So we a big shout out to the Liberty Group, who is supporting us as well. Amazing restaurants. And of course, Casa Loma. So we're doing like a little sip and sing. So it's part of their Sunset Concert Series. I'm closing it out. We did one back in July, and I'm doing the last one August 27th. So you'll be able to hear a few stories behind the music and behind the wine, and you'll be able to try it as well that night. And I'll be signing bottles as well after the show.
And the cool thing for you, you mentioned off the top legacy, this wine, you know, it will be part of your legacy and also your family, because it has your children right on the label.
It does. It does. It was really, I think, a brand that we wanted to be rooted in connection, family, friendship. You know, we wanted to invoke like the spirit of like just joy, you know, goodness. You know, part of building a brand is building the experience. So part of the Casa Loma experience and being able to, you know, watch the show while you're having a glass, like this is all things that I think people will remember. They'll remember the taste of the wine. They'll remember how they felt during the show. And they'll remember, you know, some of the stories that I tell about, you know, just this process and stuff. And those are the kind of things that intrigue me and have made this journey that I'm on more interesting. Because it was far easier to just put my name on something that was already done. That's
right.
Easy. But where's the fun in that?
Not as rewarding. And the
it's
thing
not
is,
as rewarding. Yeah.
Yeah. And you're not going to stop this because you love to travel. You travel all the time. You're curious. You got the creative side, which is so much about wine, is that. I can't wait talking to you, you know, when you're going over deciding how much, you know, are you going to use 100% real oak? Is it going to be neutral oak Bandol red? Yeah, all of that stuff is going to come up.
Yes. We just started with the taste. I just know this vintage is a 21. It is divine. And the Bandol red is
Mouvedre.
Mouvedre. Very juicy, plump, amazing taste.
Yeah. Meaty.
Amazing. We'll meaty, have to get
savory.
You a bottle.
Oh yeah. I never say no.
I have a question for you.
Yeah.
What's your favorite part about being a somm?
I would say my favorite part is I'm always still excited to try something new. Like when someone says, hey, we have an old vintage of this, like I legitimately get so excited. And it's not about, all right, I'm going to get drunk or I'm going to be tipsy. It's nothing. It's like, I'm so curious. What does it smell like? What does it taste like? And it's just that in the end is what it really comes down to. It's the curiosity. And then the other, I would say, is the amount of travel it's allowed me to do. Like trying 60-year-old bottles of Riesling in Mosul, or having lunch with one of the most famous winemakers in South Africa, staring at Mount Stellenbosch.
Really?
That as well. Yeah.
I'm so jealous.
You can't be jealous of me.
I'm so jealous. Wow.
I've seen your bio. Nothing to be jealous about.
No, when you actually, you know, it's kind of like meeting your favorite artist or your favorite songwriter. These are the people that are generally behind the scenes. They're not in front of the camera. They're not in front of the, you know, they're the ones writing the song. So you hear the song and you go, my God, that melody is beautiful. The words. And then you finally meet the songwriter. That's what wine is to me. You know, the fact that you've traveled to all these places and have met these people that have created such art for the mouth.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
It's awesome.
I geek out all the time when I meet a winemaker. I'm like, oh my God, that kind of.
Wow. That's
so
cool.
As we end this, where do people go? Obviously the LCBO, any websites, any other information people need to know to seek out and find your rosé?
You can, of course, go to all the LCBOs in Ontario. They're there. It's there on the shelf. It's also, you can check out our website, www.kazaisu.com, KAZAISU. Or go to deborahcox.com or all my portals, Deborah Cox, DRG on Facebook, Deborah Cox, Instagram. All of it's there. Google Deborah Cox.
If you're not on any social media, Deborah Cox plus wine, it'll send it to the Instagram account, to the website, and to all the information.
All there.
This has been great. I love what you're doing. I think it's awesome.
Thank you so much. Yeah. You're my first son that I've spoken to. Like, this is a big deal. I'm really thrilled about this conversation.
Thank you so much for being on the podcast. I really appreciate it.
Thank you. Thank you.
Thanks, everyone, for listening to the Matt Talks Wine and Stuff with Interesting People podcast. Remember, you can find me on Stitcher, iTunes, Apple, wherever quality podcasts are sold.
Thanks for listening to the Matt Talks Wine and Stuff with Interesting People podcast. Happy hunting.